And then we talked about Darren and Brian particularly talked about having gone to see Garth Brooks in concert in Ireland, and they remembered a song that he did, and they sang it. They learned it on the bus. They didn't have time to memorize it, so they had lyric sheets on the music stands, and it was the Garth Brooks song, What's She Doing Now? And the second or third line in it says, last I heard she'd moved to Boulder, and the crowd went wild. So stay tuned for a few tracks from the High Kings' latest album, Home From Home. And those will come to you after a few words from some of our sponsors, our supporters. So stay tuned.
Support comes from Caddis Collaborative, architects who consider community, sustainability, and carbon neutrality at every phase of design and construction. More information at caddispc.com.
Support comes from Sunshine Homeshare Colorado, a nonprofit that matches elders looking to remain in their homes with home seekers looking for affordable housing. Home sharing provides mutually beneficial effects for both the home provider and the home seeker. More at sunshinehomeshare.org.
On behalf of everyone at KGNU, thank you for making our fall fund drive a success. Thank you to hundreds of contributors, and welcome to the new KGNU members. Our community is our lifeblood, you know that. Thank you for fueling our community with your support. We truly value your support, both for what it will allow us to do and for the services it will provide for our larger community.
So, as I said, three tracks from Home From Home by the High Kings. So, in case you missed last night's performance on stage at the Boulder Theater, here are three tracks that they did from their new album. And in case you were there and just want to continue scratching the itch for High Kings music, here's The Dutchman, Wild Colonial Boy, and Farewell to Nova Scotia.
Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam that holds his dreams in. That's his secret, only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the morning, Margaret brings some breakfast. She believes him. Thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can be, but Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above his idyllism. Long ago, I used to be a young man. And dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes. His cap and coat are patched with love that Margaret sewed him. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. He watches tugboats down canals, calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. Till Margaret comes to take him home again. Through unforgiving streets, they'll trip him though she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks that he's alone and he calls her name. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above beside her sea. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. The windmill swirls the winter in, she winds his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. He sees her for a moment, calls her name, she makes his bed up, humming some old love song. She learned of when the tune was very new. Together in the night, a Dutchman falls asleep, and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above beside her sea. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above beside her sea. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me.
Pulled two pistols from his belt, and he proudly waved. But that surrender set the wild colonial boy. He fired a shot at Kelly, and they brought him to the ground. And turning round to Davis, he received a fatal wound. A bullet pierced his pelt young heart from the pistol of Fitzroy.
The sun was setting in the west, the birds were singing on every tree. All nature seemed inclined for the rest, but alas, there was no rest for me. I grieved to leave my native land, I grieved to leave my comrades all, and my parents whom I love so dear. See how they do adore.
Farewell to Nova Scotia, your sea-bound coast. Let your mountains dark and dreary be. Or when I am far away, or the briny ocean tossed, will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me?
The drums they beat and the wars do alarm. The captain is calling, I must obey. Charm for it's early in the morning and I'm bound far away.
Farewell to Nova Scotia, your sea-bound coast. Let your mountains dark and dreary be. For when I am far away or the briny ocean tossed, will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me?
I have three brothers, they are at rest. Their arms are folded across. And a poor simple sailor just like me will be tossed and turned on the deep blue sea.
Farewell to Nova Scotia, your sea-bound coast. Let your mountains dark and dreary be. For when I am far away or the briny ocean tossed, will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me? Farewell to Nova Scotia, your sea-bound coast. Let your mountains dark and dreary be. For when I am far away on the briny ocean tossed, will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me? Will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me?
All right. Farewell to Nova Scotia, Wild Colonial Boy, and the Dutchman. Farewell to Nova Scotia featured some whistle. excuse me. Farewell to Nova Scotia featured whistle and baron by the newest member of the High Kings, Paul O'Brien, multi-instrumentalist singer, fine addition to the group. Then Wild Colonial Boy was, I think, Paul led that one, but then the whole group joined in. And The Dutchman featured Finbar Clancy's fine guitar picking as well as his singing. So there you go, High Kings. They can't come back too soon. Fun guys and incredible musicians. Speaking of incredible musicians, last month, I recorded an interview with Larry Kerwin, a founder, one of the co-founders of Black 47, and a very long interview. Talked about his new book, Rockaway Blue, and then also talked about Black 47, the band that he founded, and then spent some time talking about the plays that he has written, and a play that is currently in off-Broadway prep in Chicago. And so a part two of that interview I will play tonight, in which Larry talks about the band and how it began and some of what they did. I'll play part three, talking about the plays, next month when I'm back in front of the microphone. And then I will, after the interview, play a couple of tunes that Black 47 had recorded, like one featuring Larry and then the other featuring his partner, Chris Byrne, who was a detective sergeant on the NYPD and also a rapper. And I'll play a tune that features Chris Byrne rapping. And then like a couple of tracks off a compilation album that Larry put together in 2013, I think. Larry picked out a number of his favorite Irish rock tunes, called it Larry Kirwan's Celtic Invasion. So a couple of tracks from that, and then just some other music to fill out the hour. So it's 7:15, and I will now play part two of the interview with Larry Kirwan. Good evening, Shoulder Gale listeners. I've got Larry Kirwan on the line, and part two of my interview with him will touch on his musical history, the formation of Black 47, his journey from County Wexford to the U.S., the music, and all of the other cultural contributions that Larry has made to U.S. and Irish literature, music, plays, songs, poetry, all of that sort of thing. So, Larry, welcome back to Shoulder Gale.
Thank you so much, Roger. It's good to be back.
Ah, you're very welcome. You're a Wexford man. When did you come to the States? How? Why? What happened when you got here?
Well, I came as a student and jumped ship, as it were. I had seen Midnight Cowboy, and I thought, let me get a piece of that. So I jumped ship, and I was illegal. I'm one of those illegals. Yeah. So I've always stuck up for those who are not documented ever since. But anyway, I just came and for the excitement and to reinvent myself. You know, when you're living in Ireland at that point, you're just with Irish people all the time. And I wanted to really experience the world. And it seemed like New York was the place to be. I didn't want to go to Britain because I was political and I didn't feel like bowing my head to the British government. So New York was just a great place. And I came with a friend of mine called Pierce Turner. We had a band with the unfortunate name Turner and Kirwan of Wexford, which people couldn't say. They would always say Kerner and Turwin of where? And we were kind of like an Irish acid rock folk duo, if you can imagine that.
My. Where did that come from?
We were out there, you know, Pierce and I were, as we put it ourselves, the hottest thing since Cain and Abel.
Okay.
So try and visualize this. Pierce played a clavinet, which is an electric clavinet with a Moog synthesizer on top of it.
Oh, my.
And with his left foot, he played a hi-hat. And I played a heavily affected acoustic guitar run through an amp with all sorts of effects on it. And I played a kick drum with my right foot. And we would get fired out of places for being too loud, this duo. But one of the first people who took an interest in this was Pete Seeger,
Oh, my.
Pete Seeger took a real shine to us. In fact, I used to write to Pete, and Pete to the end of his days, thought my name was Lang, L-A-N-G, because the way I wrote Larry, the two... He would introduce me as Lang Kerwin and to people that knew me too. And, you know, I couldn't contradict him because I'd let it go a couple of times. And then, you're not going to tell Pete Seeger he's totally wrong with your name after knowing him for 20 or 30 years. And then, so anyway, we used to play with Pete, this duo, and then we toured around the country. And then after a while, we became a punk band and used to play in CBGBs, and the name of the band was the Major Thinkers. And another unfortunate name, because if anybody wants to run you down with a name like that, you're leaving yourself right open. But we experienced the whole CBGBs punk new wave scene, and then we got signed by we had a hit called Avenue B Is the Place to Be, and we got signed up by Epic Portrait at CBS, and we went out on the road with our friend Cyndi Lauper. And Cyndi, of course, became really big, and we were our opening band for a couple of years. And then we got dropped by CBS, and we broke up. And Pierce went on to do a solo career, but I wanted to become a playwright, so I gave up music almost totally. I was kind of tired of myself. You know, you can get that way. You get tired of your own voice, what I was doing.
What year was that?
That would have been 85. And I became a full-time playwright. Now, I did play in improv bands where you got up on stage and you just improvised.
Open mic night sort of thing.
No, very different than that. We would sometimes have 20 people.
Oh.
It was orchestras, and sometimes it would be smaller, be 5 people or whatever. And we backed a poet called Copernicus. And Copernicus took us on a tour of Eastern Europe and the USSR right as the wall was coming down in 1989. The wall came down in August. And so the Eastern Europe was very fertile at the time. And when I came back from that, I had been working as a playwright for 4 years at this point, and I'd written 4 or 5 plays and put them on, because I came from the punk world, the DIY thing, that don't wait around for anyone else to do it for you, which a lot of playwrights do and spend lots of times waiting for institutions to help them. But I set out to put on any play that I wrote and at the very least give it a workshop and show it to people. Because you put so much time into plays, you really have to get some kind of a reward for it. If it's not money, it's that to see your characters and to see your story in front of you on stage. So when I came back from Eastern Europe and USSR, I was kind of bitten with the whole idea of playing music again, but I didn't quite know how to do it or what to do it. I didn't want to go back to being in a punk band or anything. So one night, I think I was having a bit of a breakdown. I was writing a play, and I had this idea. I got to hear some Irish voices, because I lived way downtown. And most of the Irish lived in the Bronx or uptown Manhattan. And I decided to walk to a friend of mine's bar, which was up in around the 60s. So that's about a 60-block walk, which is pretty considerable. I figure I'd regain my sanity by then. Yeah. But I was passing by a place called Paddy Riley's. I heard some music, and I went in. And I hadn't played any Irish music or anything like that. And a guy recognized me and said, "Here's the guy from Turner and Corwin of Wexford and Major Thinkers. Would you favor us with a song?" And I said, no, I'm actually freaking out here. You don't want me up on stage, would you, there now? And the bar said, "I know what you want." And I said, "Really?" And she gave me a big glass of Irish whiskey, which I tossed down. And that kind of settled my brain. I got up and I played all night with this band. And Chris Byrne, the detective sergeant, was the leader of it. And at the end of the night, I'm sitting at the bar with him, and I can see he's depressed. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, the band I'm in, Beyond the Pale, is breaking up tonight. And I have all these gigs in the Bronx and Queens and everything. I got two children at home, and I need the money. And I said, I'll do it with you. And at that point, we just decided it would be an original band. We would play all original music. And Chris, apart from being a really good Ilan Piper, was a rapper too, and a policeman. So he was a character. He is a character.
Triple friend.
And so we got together for one or two rehearsals. And in those days, you had to play at least 4 40-minute sets, sometimes 4 1-hour sets.
Oh my.
So after the two rehearsals, we just wrote down any song we thought we knew. We went up to the first bar that where the gig was, and they hated us. I mean, really hated us. But we were pretty confrontational. I had come from CBGBs where hatred was part of the game. And Chris was a cop. And Chris would come from the gig, from his cop gig, and he would take his gun out and open up his own pipes case and let everybody see he had the gun and put the gun in the case. And then, as he said himself, this is the only legal gun in this place. So no one was going to hit us. That was one thing. Or we felt they weren't, unless they were really drunk. I mean, there were attacks on us after a period of time. But we got fired from every gig we did for about a month. But we were getting better at this point. And I was writing new songs by the new time. And the songs, because I was using a drum machine, and Chris is playing Ilan pipes, baron, and tin whistles, a low flute. And I was playing an electric guitar, Stratocaster at this point, and programming a drum machine. And I used to program the kick drum like the hammer of Thor. six different drums, bass drums together. So even when we were playing big concerts later, Salmon had laughed to see this little box, and then we'd blow their speakers and that kick would kick in. So we were loud again, loud and proud, and we were political right from the start. Both Chris and I were political.
So were you inspired by Pete Seeger in your youth? Is that where your political bent came from?
We were way beyond Pete at this point. We were active revolutionaries.
Ah, okay.
We were pretty out there. You know, the whole war was going on in Ireland at that point, too. This is 1989. So we were unabashedly political, which didn't go that well with Irish people, you know. It went well with people from Northern Ireland. All of a sudden, we had this huge Northern following. But nobody from my hometown would come, or from anywhere in the South, except, you know, radical people, too. But we were the only band like that in the country, so we instantly got a crowd. And then Joe Strummer showed up. He'd heard about us, and he championed us, Joe Strummer from The Clash. So that was a big entree to a lot of different places. And within, one of the things I was positive of doing this time was we record straight away. You know, we get the songs out there. So we had a cassette out within 3 months of hitting the stage, and we had a full album out within a year. And that album took off around the country. It was called Black 47, and it had a lot of different... we had so many good songs at the time. When you start a band, you're full of this fire and guts. And we were original because there was nothing else like us. We knew what we were doing, but... You know, Ilan pipes and electric guitar, you know, and a whole punk kind of feel to it. And Chris getting up and rapping, you know, was, you know. And the other thing is we insisted the TVs go off. Everything goes off. You were here to see us. And the bartenders would go nuts. You know, they're not here to see you. You look around, just kind of dopes looking up at you. They are here to see us. We fought with everyone. It was like, because we were getting fired anyway. Anyway, so We weren't going to go quietly into that dark night. But then we got signed up by Elliot Roberts, who is a famous manager. He managed Neil Young, managed Bob Dylan, Devo, Joni Mitchell, everyone. We were his next big thing. So we're out everywhere playing across the country, and then we got signed to a deal with EMI Records and Rico Kasich, and I produced the first album. And then we had another album with them. Then we got Fire Bunham, and then we got picked up by Mercury Records. And then the guy who Danny, who signed us, he got fired. So we all got fired again. Life 47 is a succession of firings, and it was a tempestuous band because we didn't care. It's like our idea is we're going to play what we want. If you don't like it, you know, there's a real nice place down the street where you'll hear a folk singer or something, and it'll be much more fun for you. So go, you know. People weren't used to that. You know, that was kind of fascinating to people that here's a band that really doesn't care what you think about them. Because at this point, we knew we were pretty good. You know, the songs were good, they were powerful, and we were for certain causes. We were for civil rights in the north of Ireland. We were for racial equality around the country. We were fairly left-wing as they go. And you don't like it, go next door. There's not that many bands like that, you know. So, and we always had a following, and we were getting well paid. So yeah, our come down, if come down is a thing, because we played for as long as we wanted. We played for 25 years, but we hit a wall with the Iraq War, because we came out about it against it before it even started. And it split our audience a bit. We always had a strong right wing, a strong left wing, and a big center. And many of the right wing left because we were considered unpatriotic. Whereas we were saying, we're the ones who are patriotic. We're protesting this ridiculous government that's sending our fans over to fight a war of choice. And we were against it. And for 3 years, every night, it was a battle on stage, people smashing CDs, we insisting that we play what eventually became the Iraq album. And then after 3 years, people started to dance to it. Everybody got sick of the war. But we burned a lot of bridges, especially with Irish festivals and things like that, which in many ways we had been good for, because we brought a lot of new people into the festivals, brought young people and brought people who weren't Irish in also. But people were afraid. Many of the organizers wanted to book us, but there was a pretty heavy right-wing thing against us at that point. And then, again, these are the breaks. If you're political, you can't go around complaining then. It was like the war goes on. It's us on stage against you in the audience, and we're louder.
How many gigs did you play in Colorado, in Denver, and where?
I can't remember where we played in Denver, but we played a number of times in Denver. I can't remember. I remember Boulder better because I used to get the on stage. Like,
the air is thin.
Yeah, had some memorable nights there. And you said Conor O'Neill, I think we played a festival down there. I know we used to drink in Nalan's after the gigs we did in Denver. I must look it up sometimes. The trombone player kept records of every gig. I don't know why.
So that's part two of my interview with Larry Kerwin. Part three, coming up next month, we'll talk about his career as a playwright, maybe touch a little bit more on some of the music, but he's just an incredibly talented man, Renaissance man, if you will, written a number of books, a number of plays, an incredible repertoire of music, and just very, very talented, funny and witty and insightful, all of that sort of thing. Someone that you would love to sit down and have a pint or two and a shot or two with, and you would not even realize how much time had passed by. So with that, I am going to play a couple of Black 47 tunes. Here's one called Green Suede Shoes off the album of the same name, and then another tune called Black Rose off an album they did called Home of the Brave. So here is Green Suede Shoes.
Thank you. was my best friend. We were partners in a business down on C and 7th. Nothing ever got this good brother down. He was a real live wine in electric town. Frank started hanging with an uptown girl, Harlem lady in the social world. Saturday night he threw in his best clothes, a co-ed step with his black rose. Now Frankie went up to stay for a couple of years, a guest of the nation, and he was in tears. He called me up, he said, hey friend of mine, I got one favor to ask you while I'm doing my job. Oh, she's the queen of New York City. She bewitched all men's soul. She's the blood that flow right through me. Oh, don't be messing with my black rose. I'll keep your hands off of my black rose. Upstate, his Harlem girl continued to spiral in her social world. So I paged her from my gig in E7. I said, hey babe, doing anything right there, 5 to 11? She said, in her uptown voice. So we met a baby for cocktails and ice. When she crossed that room in her tight red dress, I wasn't thinking of Frankie, I have to confess. She said, hey best friend, let's go back to my place. I need to fix my mascara and remodel my face. But it rained on the way back to her house, and when she closed the door, she took off her blouse. Oh, she's the queen of New York City. She bewitched all men's soul. Next thing I know, I'm whispering sweet nothings, lying in bed with my black rose. I'm making love to my black to a breathe with a sweat on my brow. How could she sleep? So deep, so sweet, as calm as a rock, while I push back the seconds oozing from the clock. Now the letters are of Frankie returned unread. The word leaked out, I'd be better off dead. But in the crimson dawn, black roses unfold. Drain all the poison from my soul.
Drain your rosy.
Now I'm standing up here on 42's, another terminal man waiting for his bus. Here come Frankie with his head all shaved. Is that a piece in his pocket or is it a blade? Now I'm lying face down in the terminal dirt with a hole in my chest. I don't feel no hurt. I don't want to go to heaven. I've been there before. Just spent 2 years in paradise with my black rose. Now she's the queen of New York City. She bewitched all men's soul. Or when you go and find her body, I bury me next to my black rose. I'm still in love with my black rose. She's up in heaven now, my black rose. You won't be making love to my black rose.
Over you, a time is in my mind, no matter what I do. A Russian domino can get over you. Now Frankie coming back, and I know that I am too. Mr. Frankie Diamond, tell me do the right thing. Watch his girl while he away at Sing Sing. But me and Rosie, we have a little thing. Now Frankie coming home, wicked trouble it will bring. Wicked trouble it will bring. A Russian domino can get over you. A time's in my mind, no matter what I do. A Russian domino can get over you. Now Frankie coming back, and I know I am true. Lord have mercy.
All right, Black 47 with trombone, drum machine, Ellen pipes, and rapping done by Chris Byrne, New York Police Department Detective Sergeant. Wow. They just don't make music like that anymore. So here are a couple of Larry Kerman's favorite tracks off the compilation album he put together a few years ago, Larry Kerman's Celtic Invasion. Here's another song, a bit of rapping, called Meet Me on McLean from a group called Shillelagh Law, and then a very fine instrumental from a group called Celtic Cross. So coming up to the top of the hour, be sure and stay tuned after 8 o'clock for Musica Mundi with George F. So here is Meet Me on McLean from Shillelagh Law.
Tell you about a place I know where American kids and the Irish go. You can hear the jigs and reels up and down the streets where New York City and Ireland meet. Let's all get together around 9:45. We'll raise the first pint at the Hibernian. The band's there playing all the favorite songs. We'll be dancing and singing tunes all night long, yeah, yeah. New. Something there for me, something there for you. When north meets south and east meets west, where the five boroughs meet the four provinces. Tell me about your neighborhood, where no other place could ever be this good. I hope that my message is crystal clear. Don't need to look around, we have it all right here. So meet me on McLean tonight. Here the bar stay open till the broad daylight, where the whiskey is smooth and the beer is cold, and the streets are paved green, white, and gold. So meet me on McLean tonight. All the pretty girls make me feel alright. We'll all stay out till 5 a.m. A little breakfast and a nap, then we'll do it again. Kerry, then there's Clare. Every county's represented there. Galway, Limerick, and Mayo, with Armagh, Tyrone, and Sligo. There's Dublin, Belfast, and Donegal. This Yonkers Street has got them all. To our friends in Woodlawn and Broadway, too. To the boys in the Bronx, this bud's for you. I never could have dreamt of a better place. How rich the music is, how sweet the Guinness taste. Some are born right here and others far away. We're all here now to see a better day. With the sons and daughters of Erin's Isle, with the strong Celtic roots, we're gonna stay a while. So come on out and have a pint or two, and take the 4 train to the avenue, and meet me on McLean tonight. Hear the bar stay open till the broad daylight, where the whiskey is smooth and the beer is cold, and the streets are paved green, white, and gold. So meet me on McLean tonight. All the pretty girls make me feel alright. We'll all stay out till 5 a.m. A little breakfast and a nap, then we'll do it again. So meet me on McLean tonight. Hear the bar stay open till the broad daylight, where the whiskey is smooth and the beer is cold, and the streets are paved green, white, and gold. So meet me on McLean tonight. All the pretty girls make me feel alright. We'll all stay out till 5 a.m. A little breakfast and a nap, then we'll do it again. So meet me on McLean tonight. All you pretty girls make me feel all.
22 from Celtic Cross, and before that, Meet Me on McLean by Shillelagh Law. Coming up to the top of the hour, we're going to close out with a new single released by a fine a cappella group out of Dublin called Ardew. And one of the members had lived in New York City for a number of years and wrote this composition in honor of 9/11. And I picked it out in respect for Larry Kerwin and his novel Rockaway Blue, that is heavily influenced and talks about 9/11 and its impact on a family. And then I'm going to close out with a new single released by Celtic Woman called Misha Eyre. And it's their version of the Sean O'Riordan composition off a new album that they'll be releasing in a couple of weeks called Postcards from Ireland. And I'm going to try and line up an interview with the newest member of Celtic Woman and play a few more tracks from that new album when it is released. So here is The Phoenix from Ardew, and as much of Misha Eyre as I can fit in between now and the top of the hour. So thank you for listening to Shoulder Gale tonight. It has been my pleasure to bring you tunes from the High Kings and interview with Larry Kerwin, some of his music, and music of his choice. So stay tuned for Musica Mundi.
Can you hear a heart stop? Listen to the teardrop echoing in each and every life. Pictures in the water, images of slaughter issued by a petrifying, death-defying hand. Hearts are stirred and shaken, friendships will awaken, fellow feeling teeming to the shore. Meeting eagles soaring in the sky. elevated friar, priest to every color, every creed. May this moment's sorrow strengthen us tomorrow, help us find the inspiration every nation needs. Melting pot emotion, deeper than the ocean, fortitude and valor to the
Pearl Street. More information by calling 303-444-1760.
This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned next for Musica Mundi.
friend, come back to me. Call on my friend, 'cause I'm gonna miss you. Call on my friend. The world is full of misery, and the road you've taken has no end. Call on my friend, come back to me. Call on my friend, 'cause I'm gonna miss you.
Yeah.